G'day, Spin Dot Bob. It's Corey from Team CD Mark, and we're here at the TNT Boy Trivia Night. And we'd just like to let everyone know listening that they're listening to on 3, 1, 2, 3.
In this episode of Geo Talk, we speak to Marcus Vitruvius from Wodonga, catch up with Mr. Cheesy Pig from Tasmania, and we get a bit more information about a geocacher's final resting place. All this and more on Geo Talk. Well, welcome to episode 28 of Geo Talk. Here we are in the month of May. Time flies, and certainly the days are getting shorter. I hate winter. I don't know about everyone else, but normally I like the cold weather. But when it comes to geocaching, you just don't have enough hours in the day. And of course, our friends up in the Northern Hemisphere, they're all rejoicing because they're getting longer hours and daylight saving and all that. But it's just not the same. And I know about 2 weeks ago, I went night caching with Ruffer's Guts and Deputy Dog and Team Web Guy. And it was a lot of fun, but you know, you miss out on a lot of the sights and you miss out on a lot of the, you know, the vistas and fun and so forth when you go nighttime geocaching. So unfortunately for all of us down here in Australia and across the ditch in New Zealand, this is what we got for the next few months, so let's bear with it. Anyway, it's autumn time, Autumn in the Blueies event. I went up to that up at Wentworth Falls last weekend, and thank you to Team Web Guy and everyone else who attended. It was a really good turnout, a few familiar faces and a few new ones as well. Good to meet Rickery, or Rickari. I'm not too sure how he pronounced it. He can correct me later on, who's moved back from Adelaide to the Sydney region. It was interesting to have a chat with him and a few other geocachers about the place. And it was great to take Zach out. Zach, it's his first caching event, and hopefully he'll get hooked as the years go by. And if he doesn't, I'll be sticking him up into crevices and caves to get that cache for me anyway. So bad news for you, Zach, when you listen back to this. 1,000 finds. I'm about to hit 1,000. Now, I know I'm not a numbers man, but I love milestones, I have to admit. And I'm scratching my head at the moment trying to work out what to do. Now, I have a little bit of an idea which particular cache I'm going to find. It's near one that I'm doing maintenance on down in Canberra in a few weeks' time. And it's a nice little area. And those who know Gibraltar Rocks down in the southern ACT, in the territory there, they'll know the cache that I'm thinking of. So, you know, maybe I might put a post there. But I want to find out from you guys, what is your favorite cache that you've done as a milestone? So what is your favorite milestone, whether it be 100 or 200 or 300, 1,000, the case of Dax Emu Mob, 5,000? You know, what are some of the memorable caches? And do you reserve some of those memorable ones for your milestones? This week marks a special anniversary for geocaching. It's 8 years since the first geocache was placed on the 5th of May 2000, just a day after selective availability was switched off. And it was only 2 weeks later, I think, that the first cache in Australia was placed, the one at Lane Cove in Lane Cove National Park. Of course, that cache, like the very original one over in the States, doesn't exist anymore. But 8 years geocaching. So those who have been doing it for almost 8 years, well done. Tip my hat off to you for finding out about it in the first place. And hopefully we'll be geocaching for another 8 more. Worldwide Flash Mob event, the WWFM3. I can't quite do it like Sonny does. That's being held this weekend. So if you haven't yet got to the 10th of May and you're listening to this, if you're in Melbourne or Canberra here in Australia, that's where the WWFMs are being held. I would have liked to have one in Sydney, but unfortunately, as most people know, I've got my hands full. Maybe if Sonny and Sandy do a WWFM4, we might get all involved in that. So anyway, lots of fun, hopefully, for those who are involved this weekend. The first Where I Go geocache has been placed in Australia. There has been a bit of discussion on the Geocaching Australian forums about it. Apparently, the software is still a little bit buggy. I know, I think the main constraint, and I know it is for me, is that I don't have a device in which I can use it. I don't use a Windows Mobile PDA. In fact, I don't use a PDA anymore. I used to use a Palm Pilot, and I don't have a Colorado. And it would be really nice if somewhere down the track, they might make Where I Go a Java type program, so that then we could run it on all different devices. heaven forbid, we might even run it on a Mac. So anyway, where I go, I think the first one's in Perth, and there are a few others that are being developed around the country. It'd be interesting to see how they go and whether it takes off a little bit better than waymarking, because I know that's still lagging behind. There are a number of people who are devoted to it, but unfortunately here in Australia, it just hasn't quite kicked off. So we'll see how that goes over the next few months. In other geeky IT news, I'm a bit excited because most people know that I'm a bit of a Mac boy, a Mac devotee. Apple is going to be releasing the iPhone here in Australia, finally, a year after the US. Vodafone announced this week that they'll be selling the iPhone in Australia and New Zealand and eight other countries around the world, including South Africa. So our friends on the other side of the Southern Hemisphere get access to it too. No announcement on the date or the cost or whether it'll be a 3G model, because 3G is very popular now in Australia. I think almost half of all phones sold in Australia are 3G. So waiting for more announcements on that. The tip is that something will be announced after June 9, which is during the Mac Developers Conference. And also the other hot tip is that there may be other phone carriers involved, so it may not be a lockdown model just to Vodafone. That may involve either Three, Optus or Telstra as well here in Australia. Also on the subject of phones, I got my hands on an N95 from Nokia recently, got to play around with that, has a built-in GPS, fantastic device. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it in episode 29, along with a test run of Trimble's Geocaching Navigator. Now, before we get into our geocacher profile, it's time for the GeoTalk trivia question, and it's a relatively simple one. How many active geocachers are there in Australia? And if you're clever enough, how many are there in each state? The answer to that at the end of the podcast. Well, joining us on this episode of Geo Talk is Warren, also known as Marcus Vitruvius, from the Albury-Wodonga region of which side of the border are you on, Victoria or New South Wales?
Victoria.
Victoria. So you're from Wodonga. Welcome to Geo Talk.
Thank you very much.
All right. So first of all, tell us a little bit about how you got into geocaching and how you came up with your nickname, Marcus Vitruvius.
Well, I suppose probably like most caches, I guess. Was into outdoor activities beforehand and into hiking and just getting out in the world, I suppose. And it was actually, not to sound too corny, I guess, but I was actually watching the movie National Treasure that my wife and I sort of thought, oh, geez, I wonder if, we can get out in the world and do things, and actually find things. And it wasn't until her dad mentioned the term geocaching and that I jumped on the website and looked it up and lo and behold, I typed in the postcode and up Albury pop, so that was it. I went out and found first got the caches without a GPS and been hooked ever since. So.
And how did you come up with the name?
Well, Marcus Vitruvius is actually an old Roman architect name, and I've used a couple of old aliases in the past for different websites and online activities and things like that. So the reason I chose his name in particular was that my other favourite person in history is Leonardo da Vinci, and one of my favourite drawings by him is called The Vitruvian Man, and he models that off some of the ideas that Marcus Vitruvius had about creating the ideal ratios and proportions of architecture, and he linked those to creating the ideal ratios and proportions of the human body. So, that's what I just coined and brought back one of the old aliases from years gone by. So, and it actually works out really well because people just have been referring to me as just simply Marcus, so kind of works well.
Gets a bit confusing. Likewise, I've got Spin Doc Bob and everyone calls me Bob.
Yeah, well, I must admit, I thought, yeah, that's what your name was. We actually get to know the person, so.
Yeah, that's a good cover. So you've been geocaching for how many years now?
Well, actually, I'm still yet to clock my first year. I started in June last year, so I'm nearing the milestone of 1 year. So, yeah, it hasn't been that long, but, enjoyed every minute of it so far.
And so what's caching like in the Albury-Wodonga region? Because for people who are not familiar with Australia, it's one of the regional centres. There's about, 50 to 60,000 people in the area?
Yeah, probably. I mean, a little bit more than that, yeah. Mm. It's one of those places that I suppose everyone seems to know of. If you go to Melbourne they're bound to have heard either Albury Wodonga or, you know, the two of them plays together. And they always seem to know that it's on the border somewhere. But I must admit, yeah, when I first started coaching, there would have been, you know, the old 20 or so that were here and in all the usual sort of spots, I guess, you know, the trademark locations that Albury and Wodonga has to offer. And, most of the hides were sort of all generally sort of, you know, the systemic entertainer sort of out in the tree or in the bush somewhere. Or there was one, you know, fairly sort of tricky sort of hide, I suppose, at the time. But, when I first started, there wasn't sort of, you know, a whole lot of variety either. It was just, they're all pretty much sort of based on the same sort of similar hide. So I guess since I've been starting, I've been trying to create a little bit more sort of diversity with the caches and offer a little bit more range of what, you know, what you can do. So, and that's been largely influenced by, you know, where I've been to, you know, the likes of Bendigo and even Shepparton on the weekend. You know, there's some fascinating ideas out there that, you know, you can sort of bring back and maybe extend those ideas.
Because it would be an interesting region. I mean, I've passed through the town and stopped by on a number of occasions because it's the main thoroughfare between Sydney and Melbourne. So you do get a lot of travellers going through trying to pick up those drive-bys and exchange travel bugs. But obviously, as you point out, as your population of geocaches grow, you're looking for a few more challenges. So what are some of the things that you guys have been doing to keep each of you on your toes in that area?
Well, I think sort of recently, until we actually got together and had a bit of a chat about things, we were all sort of placing or had been placing sort of similar cache hides. And one thing that I learned quickly by going away and seeing, as I said, places like Bendigo was that the range and diversity that you could actually accomplish with, you know, bringing new ideas into caching. So since then, we've sort of, placed our first public cache in the area, which seems to be fairly sort of popular around a lot of the other metropolitan areas, and just try to offer a few different ideas, you know, so that it just gives people something new and different to go on. So at the moment, we're trying to work on even possibly, you know, joining up to actually create like a multi-cache that might be, you know, various people have different components of, and, you know, just trying to float a few ideas around that, might give caches a bit more excitement, you know, when they come to Wodonga. So.
How many people would you say are geocaching in the Albury-Wodonga region?
Well, I think it's probably somewhere between 7 and 10 maybe that I know of. I was lucky enough to meet a few guys who had actually been caching here a lot longer than I have, such as Team Grog Monster and DJ Geodrog Russell and the likes of those. So, and Jeff Tickle, you know, they've been caching a lot longer than I have. But it just seems that we sort of had never sort of quite got together. So the event on the week, actually, we went to the Central Victorian Get-Together 2 event in Shepparton. And that was a really good chance for us, you know, to meet some of the new faces. So, I mean, up until then, I'd probably only met three of the Wodonga caches, so I got to meet, you know, probably another three or four there. So, yeah, it's been good.
Now, you organised a bit of a, I suppose, not quite an event, but a hike up to Victoria's tallest peak, Mount Bogong. Tell us a little bit about that trip.
That sort of came about, through my own sort of love, I suppose, of hiking, but of course, I'd done a lot of these hikes before I'd gotten into geocaching, and of course, once I realised there was a cache up on top of it, I just thought, oh no, I've got to go off it again. And, you know, the likes of Feather Top and all these other mountains that I've sort of climbed, I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to plan a trip back there. So it wasn't until I asked the family, you know, whether or not they wanted to go, and they all sort of seemed a little bit not keen to sort of go because they'd done it so many times before. So I thought, I wonder if DJ Geodog Rusk would be interested in going, and I wonder if Bushtracker, you know, he seems like a sort of a fairly sort of bushland sort of person. I wonder if he'd like to go up. And so I thought, oh, it's about time I sort of introduced myself to, you know, the caches, and we got to know each other. So, yeah, it was just an email to Darren, who's DJ Geodog Rascal, and, he was all for it. And then we got onto Bushtracker, and we got onto
a couple other people, and then we thought, oh, okay, well, why don't we just publish on the website, on the forums, and see if there's anybody else that actually would like to go up, you know. So it gave them maybe a good opportunity to sort of go up in safety of numbers, whereas they might not have gone up before. So in the end, we had coaches by the name of Craig D and Derringer join us as well. So and they're both those two guys' knowledge of, you know, hiking was invaluable. So yeah, it made for a really good trip all around.
You mentioned Derringer, who has quite a reputation for some fantastic hides around Victoria. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he was. It's always hard, I suppose, to sort of get an idea of what, you know, someone is, or, you know, who they are behind a name. And when I first met him, he looked like a regular sort of genuine sort of hiker, and I soon learnt that his legend for hiding caches is very well earned. He virtually led the way up Bogong quite easily, I must say, and all the way along, he would point out different areas or different spots that he's seen or he knows of. And then when we camped at Cleve Coal Hut, I remember being there a couple of times and sort of looking out across the peaks and sort of wondering, which are those mountains there, and he seemed to know sort of all of them off by heart, and just pointed out, yep, I've done that one. That one's called, you know, this mountain, and this one's called, this, you know, that one. And I was truly impressed by the knowledge that he had. So I can only imagine what some of his caches are like in the rest of the Alpine regions, which, you know, I'd love to get to in time. So
what keeps you geocaching? What is it about the hobby that keeps you wanting to go out and find these ammo cans and plastic boxes out in the bush?
It's funny you mention that, because every time I do tell somebody else it's not into caching, they sort of look at me a bit strange, like, you know, is that all that's in them? And I sort of try to explain to them that, yeah, it's not so much about the actual what you find, it's more about the journey. But firstly, I got into it and keep sort of going into it is because other places that you do come across. You know, my wife and I have actually planned a couple of trips where we haven't quite known the area, and we wanted to get from sort of point A to point B, and we've actually plotted a geocaching route on the way, which sort of A, helps us get to where we want to go to, but B, shows us all the points that we might not ordinarily have known of, had we just sort of travelled maybe along the main highway or, you know, wherever we might have been intending to go. But since I've actually been sort of continuing on with it, it's not only can you, find some of the most unbelievable places around the area, but it's people's sort of ingenuity that, you know, comes out in some of the caches, either as the way they hide them or the way that you might have to get to, you know, from point A to point B to find the cache. And it's almost exciting to sort of, you know, think what's still out there. You know, there's a lot of undiscovered places that I'm still yet to come across, and that's probably the biggest thing I look forward to. So I'll be hooked for life, I think.
And do you have any goals for this year, places you want to go to or milestones that you want to reach?
I'd like to sort of obviously try and cache in as many states as I can, but having sort of been to Tassie last year, that's probably enough for now. Mainly just to try and get it, even local areas that I haven't sort of really been to. I know I've got a trip coming up. Just sort of go to Parramatta. I've been to Sydney once before, so that might give me another opportunity to go back there and find some locations that I didn't get time to do last year. I'm still yet to go overseas at all. So that would be another highlight, would be to find a cache overseas outside Australia. So there's a few goals there, but on a personal level, probably just concentrating on getting a few more hides out there and a few more ideas that I've sort of had over the last 6 months, and things that I've been trying to work on that haven't sort of quite come about yet. So, I'm sort of focusing now on sort of trying to put out good, fun sort of caches to do.
Well, it sounds like just in a very short period of time, not even quite 12 months, you've achieved quite a bit in geocaching, and looks like you've got a long future ahead of you. Thanks very much for chatting to us on GeoTalk.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And joining us now on GeoTalk is Mr. Cheesy Pig, also known as Chris, down in Tasmania. Thanks for joining us.
That's all right. Good. Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand you are the public officer or the spokesperson for the newly formed Geocaching Tasmania Association. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, Geocaching Tasmania Incorporated occurred originally because Events Tasmania, a part of the state government down here, approached some Tasmanian geocachers looking to provide seed funding, and their aim was to support us in hosting an event which would attract people predominantly from around Australia but also potentially internationally, with the idea that if they came here for a large-scale event, they would also continue touring the state, which would assist in the tourism efforts in Tasmania. As a result of that, while we were planning the event, some ideas happened across that would have required sponsorship, and very few companies will even consider sponsorship for an outfit which isn't incorporated. So that's largely where incorporation came from, to provide the opportunities for sponsorship.
Okay, now my understanding is that the plans for that event are a little bit on hold at the moment. Is that correct?
The original plan was going to be a four-day geocaching expo, which was going to involve liaising with GPS manufacturers and other companies like that. The scale of that ended up to be just a little bit too big for us to get our head around. So what's happened now is it's going to be scaled down. We're probably going to be holding a 1 or 2 day mega event as such, which won't involve quite the expos, the formal dinners and everything else that was originally planned, but we should still be able to offer quite a unique caching experience for people who are visiting Tasmania next January.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's a great time of the year to get down there because most people, usually when they think of Tasmania, it's cold and it's close to Antarctica, but January, of course, being the middle of summer, is a perfect time to come down, isn't it?
Absolutely. January in summer is probably similar to Queensland in June without the rain, so it's a very nice time to come to Tasmania.
That's perfect.
Temperatures get to probably about as high as 32 usually in January, so it's very comfortable weather to be caching in.
So there's no excuse for us, I suppose, mainlanders, those of us in the Northern Isle, to come down to Tasmania when we think it's a little bit too hot up here in New South Wales, Queensland and other parts of the country.
Absolutely not. And without spruiking the transport options, because obviously we're not going to get a kickback from them as yet, we haven't approached them for sponsorship. My understanding is that I think you can get a plane to Tassie now for about $30 each way. So there's really no excuse not to come down. We're a bunch of very friendly people. Anyone who has come down to Tasmania and has let us know they're coming down usually finds an event held in their honour, or at the very least, we have a regular Monday night event in Hobart that people come to and have a counter meal and a chat. So feel free to come down any time, but obviously next January we've got all this stuff on the boiler.
Okay, well, everyone who's listening to GeoTalk should pencil that month in as a trip down to Tassie. Now, if we come down either in January or any other time of the year, what's caching like down in Tasmania? I mean, have you cached in the mainland, and are there differences, do you think?
I have. We've cached. The Cheesy Pigs have cached in Queensland and also in New South Wales. Caching's very similar in those states. We because of the size of Tasmania, we can offer bush and suburban caches within a very short distance of each other. It only takes about 2.5 to 3 hours to get from the top end of the state to the bottom. So there's a wide range of experience that can be out there. We have some very lovely bush walks with mountain caches through those. Mount Wellington itself has, I think, 30 or 40 caches in its vicinity. So there's plenty of opportunities up through there. Beach caches, river caches, virtual caches, puzzle caches. I think we pretty much offer an entire experience. Mm.
Now, I know, having been to the Apple Isle and also growing up in Victoria, there's usually a little bit of rivalry between the north and the south. Do you get that transfer into geocaching? Is there rivalry between those in Launceston versus those in Hobart?
There is a bit. I think a large part of that is the Hobart caches have always been a very close-knit community, especially since we've joined. And my understanding is the North and the Northwest are a little bit jealous of the Monday night events that happens every week because they haven't been able to get something organised in that regard. And we've actually had Northern and Northwestern caches come down purely for the night so they can come and have dinner with a bunch of caches.
Well, there you go. It might be a challenge for those in the north to organise their own events and maybe try and drag some of you guys up to the north.
Absolutely. And as I said, considering the size of the state, I wouldn't be surprised if, considering the event that is planned for January, if there was something occurring in the northern state as well as the south. We've had what are essentially two-day events, which have occurred both in Hobart and Launceston. Being so close, there's no reason not to go to both.
Just getting back to the association, I mean, obviously you originally formed for this event that's going to occur in January, but are there any other events or functions that as an association you're hoping to do between now and then?
Sure. As a part of the association, we've taken on board the challenge. Geocaching Australia, being funded predominantly by ideology, there was a risk that that wouldn't be able to continue in the future. So we've taken on as the challenge. We're going to be holding raffles, other contests, and fundraising through events to raise money to support Geocaching Australia. And that's something we've decided, as long as we are incorporated and we're in a position to assist with that, then we'd be mad not to keep Australian geocaching running.
Now, if people wanted to get involved in Geocaching Tasmania, the association, how can they find out a little bit more about it?
The easiest way would be through the Geocaching Forum, Geocaching Australia Forum. Within Tasmania pages, there are pages in relation to the association and the incorporation that has occurred. Or for further information, Team Swampy is actually the president, and myself as the public officer from Cheaty Pigs. Any emails directed through Geocaching Australia to us will be answered.
Now, one final question. Cheesy Pigs, how did you come up with that name?
Well, I'm actually a police officer, and our last name is Cheeseman, so my nickname for the past 35 years has been Cheesy, and it just naturally evolved while sitting there in front of the computer thinking, well, we're going to need a name if we come up with this. It just happened from there.
Oh, well, those from outside the country who may not understand, they'll have to do a little bit of research and find out the connection between police and your name. Listen, thanks very much for taking some time out, and all the best with the association. And once again, thank you for talking on GeoTalk.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, unfortunately, we're just about out of time, which means the story that I teased you about at the very start about Acacia's last cache placement is going to have to be carried over to next episode. But here's a little bit of a teaser on what we're talking about.
This kind of cemetery format or layout is very different. There's currently a good one down in Tasmania near Launceston, but we've probably got the first one on the east coast of Australia. And basically what it is, it's what they refer to as green burial or natural burial. It's where basically there's a piece of redeveloped bushland, a bit of regenerated scrubland that's come back on its own. And we actually use that as a cemetery and interment site rather than go and clear fell all the trees, form it up with headstones and nice turf rows and all those kinds of things. We actually go the complete reverse and just leave it as it is, as scrubland. And we actually inter people in burial plots in that land.
So the rest of that interview is going to be coming up in episode 29, along with a bit of a review of Trimble's Geocaching Navigator. Now, a quick look into the GeoTalk mailbag, and if you want to send in any feedback or any cheerios or suggestions or hellos or audio story, anything at all, email it to geotalk@mac.com, or you can phone it in, whether it's on your landline or on your mobile phone, by calling 02-800-50-436. So that's 800-50-GEO. And, of course, you heard at the very start of the show, Corey and the guys who attended the TNT Oi, I just realised it's an old AC/DC song, they sent in a cheerio just by doing that, by ringing up on their mobile phone. So, please, we love to hear from you. So whether you're out doing a first to find hunt or you've hit a milestone or you found a fantastic cache or just want to say hi, give us a call on that number, 850-GEO. Here's another call that we received from a long-lost soul.
Yeah, g'day, Dazza. Good job on the show so far, mate. Well done. Look, I'm just shouting out to GeoNads and Team Tojo. Well done on those guys for finding Buckley's late last year. Well done. Just wanted to ring up and congratulate those guys and also shout out to all the other caches across Australia. Well done. Hooray, Groos.
And thank you very much to the Bronze for calling that in. And before I give you the answer for the GeoTalk trivia challenge question for this episode, also just want to mention that Marcus Vitruvius Warren, who you heard in the profile at the start of this episode, has sent me a DVD with some fantastic footage of his bushwalk. Now, I've been a little bit slack in not putting together some video because I think I've got about four different videos to get online over the next few weeks. So hopefully we'll catch up on those. I'm including my 900th. Cache find back in January. Golly, it's all that long ago. Anyway, here's the answers to the GeoTalk, a trivia question for this episode. The question was, how many active geocaches, now that's the actual containers of plastic or metal or whatever it is that's out there, how many are there active in Australia? Now, this answer also includes geocaching Australia caches. The total number is 13,906. And a breakdown state by state and the territories, Northern Territory has 260, the ACT has 511, Tasmania has 893, next is Western Australia with 1,106, then we've got South Australia with 2,492, Queensland has 2,622, Victoria is second with 2,822, and finally, New South Wales with 3,200 even. And finally, a big thank you to the people who have left comments on the iTunes store. It's up to 12 now, and the podcast has actually become a featured podcast on the sports and recreation category of the Australian iTunes store, and that's fantastic. Thank you very much for that. Don't forget, you've got till the end of May to put a review on the iTunes store to go into the running to win a GeoTalk GeoCoin, and those will be coming out in the next week or two, and when they do, I'll be letting all you GeoTalk listeners know so that you can order them through the GeoTalk website. And don't forget to visit the website at www.geotalkpodcast.com to find out some of the notes and links to various places that get mentioned in the podcast. Well, that's it for this episode. In the next episode, as I mentioned, we'll be looking at Acacia's last cache placement and a review of Trimble's Geocaching Navigator. Until next time, safe geocaching.